Last week we did, we're in 1 Peter, so if you have a Bible, you can open to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Last week we covered verses 3, 4, and 5, which is on that sheet. In fact, I gave you that last week with 3, 4, and 5. I just added a couple verses to it. So now it's 3 through 7 that you have on your sheet. We will be looking at more than that. We'll be actually going through verse 9 today. Peter's been talking about, if you remember, he's addressing people who he describes as aliens, exiles, foreigners, outsiders. And he, as Christians, that's us. Because as Christians, we never quite fit into whatever culture you're from. Whether it's China, America, Korea, Indonesia, wherever you're from, you're always going to be a little bit kind of strange. But he's been talking about how to live when you're in that situation. And the whole epistle, the whole letter, is addressing that issue. Now, here in America, we have these TV game shows. And on the TV game shows, they have people who come on the show and they give them away, they give prizes to them. You know, there's one, it's called The Price is Right. And so on The Price is Right, they give away cars and vacations and stuff like that. And when a lady wins a car on The Price is Right, she is jumping up and down, and she is so excited, and is, ah, yeah, I got a new car. It's wonderful. It's like her life has just changed because she got a new car. When people win the lottery, and they get $20 million in one day, they celebrate. So what then happens when you receive salvation? Should we not celebrate 10 times as much, since our salvation is worth so much more than $20 million? Peter says, yes, we should. 1,000 times, yes, 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 we should rejoice. So I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, last week, we saw Peter praising God for all of these riches that God has given us. And that's verses 3, 4, and 5, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's given us a living hope through Christ, who's been raised from the dead, he's given us an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and unfading, that's kept in heaven for us. He's, by his power, he's guarding us for that salvation that we're going to have. And so we have protection, we have salvation, we have hope, we have all of these riches. That's what we looked at last week. And then he begins verse 6. So look at verse 6. And he says, in this you rejoice. And then if you jump ahead to verse 8, you're going to see again this idea. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The idea is that we as Christians rejoice. We have joy. It's real. And we didn't just win a car. That's not the kind of joy we have. We have eternal salvation for our souls. We have riches that make the $20 million lottery look like a penny. And Christian joy is more than jumping up and down in excitement and being happy and feeling good. I'm not saying that's not part of the Christian experience. There are times when that's true, but Christian joy is deep inside. It flows from the depths of our hearts. And I say that because of verse 6. Look at verse 6 again. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. In other words, you rejoice, though you suffer. That's what verse 6 says. People jump up and down when they win a car. But those people do not jump up and down when they're in an auto accident and lose their car. See, that joy is temporary. It comes and goes. It's with whatever happens in life. If life is good, they're jumping up and down and excited. If life is not so good, they're not so excited. They're not jumping up and down. Do they still have joy then? If your joy is tied to a car, then you don't have joy then. But our joy as Christians is not tied to anything on earth. What that means is when earth goes bad, we can still rejoice. I'm not saying it feels good. It doesn't feel good. It hurts. We have pain. But we can still rejoice. When we lose a job that we just were given. It doesn't affect the joy because that's not where the joy comes from. It comes from something else. Now we need to understand that belonging to God does not remove trials, difficulties, sufferings. In fact, here on earth, it may increase them. You may have more sufferings because you are a Christian. Now, we Christians, we're going to suffer all the normal things everybody suffers. We get sick. We may struggle with financial things or job things. And, you know, in school, you take finals just like everybody else. And so we face all of that. But we also face some things that are unique because we're outsiders. Sometimes our friends question us, make fun of us. You don't believe that, do you? That's crazy. Sometimes family gets upset. Sometimes people don't understand. You spend time learning the scriptures and being with God's people, and you're giving your life to the kingdom of God. People don't understand. As a Christian, you've been there. Sometimes they'll say you're wasting your life. And they'll let you know. I've shared the story. I'm not going to share the story again, but those of you when I did share the story know that I almost lost a job because I was a Christian. Because on 9/11, September 11th, when the planes flew into the towers, I called people to pray. And I got called into the CEO's office because I had the nerve to call people to pray on that day at the job that I was working at. They don't understand. If I were in that situation again, I would do the same thing because it was right. And if I lost my job, I lost my job. I'd rather be right with God than have that job. And this is true wherever you are from. It's true with employers, it's true with governments, it's true in China. The Chinese government does not understand Christianity. It's actually afraid of Christianity, the Chinese government. It's afraid of it because it doesn't understand it. Same with the Muslim world. Same with UT, right here. UT doesn't understand real Christianity, really. It has its picture of what Christianity is like, but its picture isn't really right when you actually look at it. And sometimes they make things difficult for us as Christians, being on campus working with people. Now, all of this is normal. That's what I want us to understand. It's normal. We face all kinds of difficulties. Sometimes we face difficulties because we are Christians. Sometimes we face difficulties not because we are Christians, just because we live on earth, and that's part of living on earth. But what Peter says is, although we face all these difficulties, we rejoice. In this, you rejoice. That's verse 6. Why do we rejoice? Verses 3 through 5 that we talked about last week. When he says, in this, you rejoice, he's pointing back to verses 3 through 5. It's because we have something so much better. That's why we rejoice. But there's a second reason why we rejoice. We rejoice because difficulties strengthen our faith, which then brings praise and glory and honor to God. That's verse 7. Look at verse 7. Here's what 7 says. So I'll start at 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So you've been grieved by trials. You have these difficulties so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Difficulties show you what you've got. When you Sports. I'm going to talk sports real fast. College football. I know you don't all know college football, but I'm going to talk college football real fast. In college football, if you only play teams that are really weak, that doesn't show anything. That shows that you can beat up high school teams. That isn't anything. But if you play teams that are good teams, and you beat those teams, that shows you what you've got. That's the idea. Difficulties test you. In fact, that's the word Peter uses in verse 7. And he uses it a couple of times in verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, difficulties purify you. Peter gives a picture of gold and fire. It's really a metaphor. And they would test gold by putting it in the fire to see how pure it is, to see if it's genuine. Is it the real thing or not? Let's put it in fire and find out. That's what they would do with gold. Okay. God tests your faith by putting it in the fire. Same thing. And so this Christian life is not supposed to be easy. Just the opposite. It's supposed to be difficult. And will you stand with Christ only when it is easy? Or will you stand with Christ when things are difficult? Will you trust him? That's the question. And there's only one way to find that out. You got to go through some difficulty. You have to have, maybe you have health issues. Maybe you have a mom who's sick, and maybe you've got, you lose a job. You have financial problems. You have doubts. You have whatever it is, discouragement. You go through a time of discouragement. And all that stuff is real, and it hurts. But what do you do with it? That's what Peter's talking about here. God is giving you those things, and this world is giving you those things. And through them, God's testing your faith. Because we are outsiders in this world, sometimes the world puts us in difficult positions. And sometimes we have to choose between our faith and a job, or our faith and money, or our faith and getting an A on a paper because you're afraid to speak what really you believe. You're going to speak what you believe, or if I do that, I'm not going to get an A on this paper. Sometimes we're in those situations. We have to make those calls. Jesus experienced this concept of difficulties and trials. I mean, think of his life. They crucified him. Peter, who wrote this letter, was thrown in prison for preaching Christ. Paul also was thrown in prison multiple times for preaching Christ. He was beaten, he was thrown in prison, he was shipwrecked. He gives his list, you know, of all the things he did and all the sufferings that he had to endure for preaching Christ. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, no, we will not bow down to that statue. And Nebuchadnezzar saying, very well, then you will be thrown into the furnace and burned alive. That's what happened with them. When they did that, we found out where their faith was, didn't we? That's a fiery trial in more than one way. They're tested by fire. And we found out where their faith was. That's how we find out where people's faith is. This is the house church pastor in China preaching the lordship of Christ and the second coming of Christ, though the government says he can't. But he's going to preach it anyway because the scriptures say that's what he's to do. He can't deny that. And when he does that, what we see is where his faith is. Where is your faith? This is the church planter in Indonesia arrested for converting Muslims. And when he's released, he goes and does it again. And yes, I've seen that. And he does it because it's God's desire. And we see where his faith is because of the difficulty he has to go through. This is you sharing the good news with people, but being rejected and not losing heart and saying, it's okay. Maybe it's you taking a less paying job because God called you to whatever it was. In the end, when you go through these difficulties, what you have is a stronger faith. That's what you have. And that stronger faith, Peter says in verse 7, look at verse 7, he says, it is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. He says, your faith is worth more than gold. And it's true. Shinran, your faith has given you joy. And you see it. Kevin, same thing. Your faith has brought you joy. And you see it. And it has given you something that money will not give you. And it has given you something that a high social position will not give you. And it's you see it. You see that your faith is more precious than gold because you see what it has brought you. Now, this world does not understand eternal things. This world wants you to trade away the eternal things, something that you have that's more precious than gold, to get gold. It doesn't see that you already have something that's better than that. It doesn't see it. And when you see what you have in Christ, why would you trade that away to get what this world has? Gold perishes. That's what Peter says. That's verse 7. Gold perishes. Salvation does not. It doesn't perish. And salvation is what your faith brings. Look at verse 9. You see, you obtain the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. That's what faith brings. That's why it's worth so much more than gold that perishes. That salvation in verse 9 is part of verse 4. Verse 4 is the inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Salvation's part of that. And here's what faith looks like. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 is a good picture of faith. though you have not seen him, you love him. You love Jesus even though you haven't seen him. That's faith. You believe in Jesus even though you do not now see him. You rejoice in Jesus, and you do so with a joy that is inexpressible, though you do not now see him. That's what faith is. It's a beautiful picture of faith in verse 8. Peter here is talking about our faith. He gives us a picture of what it looks like. He talks about how precious it is. And he talks about the fact that we rejoice in it when we suffer. Because through our faith, we have something so much more than anything this world has to offer. Now, you believe in Jesus, though you do not now see him. It's that simple. It really is that simple. And it brings joy. Even in suffering. We're going to stop here. What I'd like us to do is we're going to pair off and go and pray, and I'm going to have you pray for something. What I'd like you to do is we've been talking about faith in the midst of trials. Just share a trial, a suffering, a struggle, something that you're wrestling with, maybe with whoever you're with, and then pray for each other concerning that. Pray for your faith in the midst of that, because that's what Peter's talking about here.